Hey guys, welcome to the Wild PPC Bunch podcast. My name is Lazar and I'm a PPC nerd. I have over 10 years of experience in online advertising and currently I'm the owner of the growing Amazon advertising agency called Seller's Alley.
And I'm Brent, the owner of AMZ Pathfinder. I started this company 5 years ago and we've been working in online advertising since 2013.
Every week we will spend around 30 minutes covering one topic and it will get nerdy, I promise. We'll prepare a topic covering everything from PPC basics, in-depth strategy, and current trends.
One thing's for sure, you won't be bored and you will hear insights, tactics, and ideas straight from two experienced agency owners. So strap in for the ride and enjoy.
Hey guys, it's Lazar from Seller's Alley.
And Brent from AMZ Pathfinder. Hello.
Yeah, today we will be talking about one interesting topic. It's going to be Amazon advertising trends in 2020.
So what we've seen so far and then we're going to see the rest of the year, right? Both things.
Yeah, and it's not only about Corona because everybody's talking about Corona these days, but like let's focus on some bigger things that are happening at this point. Like what's the outcome of Amazon advertising, like what's going to be the platform where we're going to do all of the stuff and like that kind of stuff, basically.
So, right. Zooming out a little bit away from the COVID situation for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So Brent, what are the trends that you saw so far in your agency?
Sure. So, keeping it really specific to advertising at first, and maybe we'll kind of open it up a little bit more to other parts of Amazon. But, I think if you would agree with this, sponsored brands as an ad type in 2020 and late 2019, but really in 2020 has really like come into its own. It's become its own person. You know, it's not in a relationship with sponsored products anymore. It's because its own thing. And so getting a serious nitro boost, as I think you wrote. So videos, custom images, layout changes. All kinds of new features. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Like, I think it's the biggest boost that headline search ads or sponsor brand ads got like since they were released. So like now we can edit them so we can change how they look. We can add videos. We can add custom image. We can do layout changes. Basically a whole bunch of different stuff. And also the targeting has changed a bit. So that's a whole bunch of new stuff that are happening there and like reporting change comparing to like previous years. So it's a really big advance when it comes to sponsor brands.
Yeah, I think we'll get into the reporting maybe later because there's still some to be desired there on a wish list that you and I have kept and discussed a bit. But the one thing I want to touch on that you mentioned is the editing, which is really interesting. So for years, we were not able to edit even the names of a sponsored brand.
Oh, that was so frustrating.
Headline search. Yeah, extremely frustrating because even if you did a little typo, whoops, I named it slightly wrong. Then you've gone and you basically screwed it up. You can't go back and change it. It's basically unthinkable. You couldn't edit a campaign.
Yeah, you know that situation when like you try something and your ad is not approved, so your campaign is like in is not live.
Oh, it puts in draft mode.
Yeah, it's in draft mode. So you like fix everything and you re-upload it back and you try to activate it, but it has like one at the end.
Oh my god, yeah, I think there should be like a syndrome for that. Like it has a name. Like when we do audits, we say like ad group one syndrome. Like the account has a bunch of ad groups that are all just called ad group one and there's no name, and so when you look at the reporting they're all jammed together. But yeah, there should be one that's like the parens one syndrome or something for for these poor sponsored brand campaigns.
Oh, I really hated that one.
Yeah, it was awful. But that's all in the past now. You know, the battle scars of that are going to heal one day. But what's also interesting about that is you can change now the headline and the images. And one thing I'm kind of conflicted on is, should we change the headline and images? Because all the performance we have for those keywords or targeting method up until that point has been based on the original headline and image. And so if we go and change it, the performance that we have so far might also change. But then wouldn't it be a better practice to just start a new campaign by using the copy feature instead? I mean, if there's a product out of stock, you can add a product back in. That's a trick that I think I talked to Destiny about. Friend of the show, Destiny from Better AMS. But I don't know about, you know, modifying it wholesale. What do you think?
Definitely. A whole bunch of stuff are different and like changing overall. Like I remember like one of the things that we really like doing is to do a lot of A/B testing with sponsor brands, like changing titles, changing main image. Like do you know that you're not able to use any image, like custom image, as your logo anymore?
Right, it's just logo. It's strict now.
Yeah, and like you used to change it to your custom image, like basically the product image. We even tested like lifestyle image instead of like product image, and like that worked terribly, just to let you know. Like for us, it was really, really terrible. Like what really worked was product images, but like when you go to your phone, and one of the reasons why we used to use like images of products instead of logos is like when you go to your phone and you search for the product and the ad shows up, only the logo could be seen. And after that, you can scroll. And now they changed the size of the ad. So you can see the first image, basically logo, and then the first product. So it kind of makes sense to have logo now. And it wasn't the case in the past, to be honest. And like it's way better when it comes to that part.
A very valid point, especially in mobile, which we should probably have a whole discussion about that at some point. But yeah, the layout change is a really big thing. One reason I think it's interesting, like Amazon, in a lot of cases when they make an ad type, the way that they envision how we as advertisers or even sellers managing their ads are going to use it is actually different from how it gets used. So they say this is like the recommended prescribed way to do it, and then it's like, well, no one knows your logo if you're a smaller private label seller or like a mid-sized business. I mean, sure, if you're Pepsi, like. Yeah, all the logo might be all you need, MasterCard. But for some of these brands that are not in that position, which is most of our clients for sure, are not household names. They might be big in their industry. A product image is going to be much better. So I think Amazon finally reconciled the fact with reality and said, oh, okay, well, in that case, let's change the layout. And you talked about the lifestyle images. I think that the custom image, which is 1200 by 628 pixels, that is where the lifestyle comes in. You can show off an assortment of products. And that actually, in my mind, it makes the sponsored brands, it makes them look so much more professional. Like it looks really good. It actually is visually appealing. Whereas before, I think it was a nice little carousel. It was a good feature, but it wasn't like good looking. So I think that they're taking it seriously. That's the trend
to like the brand looks super expensive with custom images, too, in my opinion.
If it's a nice image, it looks super premium.
Yeah, it's super premium. Oh, there's one thing that I forgot to mention, and like that happened with this change. And like whenever there is a change on Amazon, whole bunch of people are just burning money just until they learn the part. Like one of the things that happened is basically that when you're out of stock, your sponsor brand ads are not stopping, and that's a huge thing. And that's something that wasn't the case previously, because like your landing page was not eligible for advertising and you wouldn't be able to do like sponsor brands. And now you can be out of stock for literally every product that you're advertising through a sponsor brand, and you can advertise only your logo. And I'm not really sure that you should do that.
It's called a super brand awareness.
Yeah.
It's ultra. Yeah. It's at the total end of the spectrum. Expected ROI, zero. Impressions, all of them.
Literally. Yeah. And like, that's definitely a good way how to burn your money. And that's making so much headache for advertising agencies, and obviously the sellers as well. Because like every time when you're out of stock, even for half of day or something like that, you need to run to your advertising account and to check your sponsor brand ads. And like if you have huge structure with hundreds of faces, that's a real headache.
Yeah, that might be a good topic to cover in a future one for troubleshooting. We could do an episode on that, just an idea.
Yeah.
But we should go to the next one here, because we have a couple. So display advertising being taken seriously by Amazon. So just a bit of like context. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lazar, 2018, first time we saw sort of display advertising in beta. Amazon put that in there, didn't really say much about it. It appeared, we ran it in a couple campaigns. It was very strange. The reporting was, well, still is kind of non-existent. It's getting better. Didn't work super well, and then they pulled it. Those campaigns still ran, even if the beta was finished. However, 2019, it came back.
Sorry for interrupting. Just to make it clear for people that are listening, you're referring when you say display advertising, you think about display remarketing in Seller Central or display campaigns in AMS or advertising platform?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good distinction. I'm talking about Seller Central specifically, and I don't think it was retargeting. It was just some form of display. This is, yet again, 2018, I believe, so my memory is kind of fuzzy on it. But for the purpose of this conversation, trends, it's like this year they actually give a damn, right? And it's here to stay, and they're really like serious about it. You know, I've talked to people at Amazon, but also people who speak to people at Amazon who are much higher up than I have access to. And it seems that, you know, this is the year when they're really taking it seriously and trying to bring some of the features of DSP into Seller Central.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And one of the things that we wanted to mention is steady improvements in store pages. I saw a post recently from our friends from Bobsled Marketing, and I saw that they mentioned one of the storefront pages, and they on that page, I think it's some shoe manufacturer, I'm not really sure, but you had an option to choose like which product is the best for you, like are you male or female, or like what's the size that you want to buy or something like that, and from there you would get like a couple of products on that page, which is something super cool that I have never seen before, to be honest.
I have not seen that. That sounds great. I think it's interesting that store pages or a store, Amazon used to call it a storefront, I think, but now I think store is the right way to say it. They started as like a really simple, almost like a landing page that was very Amazon language, you know, in terms of design, but has evolved. And now in 2020 has new features. Like my favorite one that I think has to be used correctly is where you can upload an image and then put areas on that image where someone can click. But people don't instinctively maybe hover their mouse or even use, you know, their finger on mobile to tap. Those places, you have to like put an arrow there and be like, click here to go to this or click here to go to that. Of course, video, if you have high quality video, you put it on the page and it can load. And just the way you structure the store is useful too. So each one of those sub pages is a landing page. And that's, I think, something I learned from Liz at Agility. Man, we're just like shouting out all our friends here in this episode. This is
yeah, literally. And like we were talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. And like while you were talking, I'm like, maybe we should do an episode about storefronts and store pages, because like when they showed up, like we can talk about any topic as much as you wish. For example, for this one, when stores came out, like when you search for a product, you got storefronts as a result in the search result page, if you remember that one. And like the latest thing that is happening, like when you see the product, above the product, there is a link to like name of the brand, go to their store. So there's a link to store above the product. And that's something that is absolutely new. And maybe, yeah, definitely, let's cover storefronts more in depth in one of the next episodes, basically.
Sure. Okay, folks, you hear it here first. Storefront, store page episode coming to a podcast
here. Yeah, so...
So those are the big three trends. Any other trends so far in 2020? And then we'll... throw some predictions out there. Any ideas?
Yeah, for me, the biggest thing that happened is basically sponsor brands. Like nothing is as big as that one. And I know that all of the clients that are coming there are asking for video ads, for custom image and like layout changes. And like, literally first question is, do you guys do all of the new stuff in headline search ads?
Right, right. Do you know about this? Yeah, we get forwarded emails from clients. Do you know about this video? Do you know about this? And there's one I saw just yesterday. They have videos now that are silent or something. I don't really get the point of that because I think most people don't turn the sound on anyway. They just read the subtitles if they're on mobile. But
yeah,
whatever. They're trying stuff.
Yeah, I think you always need to have some subtitle there, like to have captions. Oh, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So
one last thing about sponsored brands then. Real quick, you know, we have a pretty big focus on the EU, so we have a lot of like language competencies. And so one thing that's been on our radar in the US is the ability to correct the translations for the Spanish language headlines, because the truth is there's millions of people who are either native Spanish speakers or it's one of their primary languages, they're bilingual. And that market's only going to get bigger 10, 15 years in the US with just a huge Hispanic population. So essentially, you know, those people might be using Amazon in Spanish, and so they'll see your headline in Spanish. And it's a good idea to correct that and get it like totally set right if you can.
Yeah, I would still ask some translation agency to do that kind of stuff, because I'm not really sure that this is like human translation, and if you can use some nice
keywords. No, it's not. There. It's automatic. Yeah, we've confirmed it's automatic, but it needs to be corrected. That's not even getting to the listing itself, just the headline, but that's a whole other problem.
Yeah, and like one of the super cool things that we saw, like since we were mentioning this kind of stuff, like we always check reviews and see like what are the problem solvers for the product. Like there's a whole bunch of times when you listen, like people that are telling about your product in a way that you're not aware of. Like you're selling markers or something like that, and like pencils or whatever, and like you all of a sudden you read a review that says like I fixed a chair with it or something like that. That doesn't make sense at all.
A very MacGyver-esque review there. Yeah.
So let's go to the trends to come in this year. So I think one of the things that is really big now is more product page targeting options and formats. Also, DSP awareness as a platform and solution. More video, basically, literally everywhere. Like video is a huge thing. It started with like video in search. I didn't know like what's your first like connection with video on Amazon. Like what first happened with you guys? Like did you have like clients coming to you like, because like video in search platform is something like DSP, and like first client that came to us was like, I enrolled a program called Video in Search, and it's like, as I remember at that time, it was only for Apple products, like for Apple phones.
Yeah, it only showed up on iOS. Yeah. And then it was Android, and then it was everything, right? Slowly they like stepped it up. And it's been around for a long time, actually, in its original form for iOS. I remember I was out of the country at some point, and I was searching for, I remember exactly what it was matcha green tea. And I got served an ad on my iPhone at the time. And I was like, wow, a video in SERP. But then that must have been part of that beta. But the trend, I guess, that we're talking about is now it's for everyone, right? It's in sponsored brands, like we mentioned, but maybe it's going to show up in more places. So video, obviously, in store pages, but where else could it show up? I don't know. I lack the imagination to guess. Maybe it'll show up directly. I don't know. Maybe a competitor's video will show up on your page. That seems pretty aggressive. If there's an ad type for it like that.
Oh, yeah. That would piss me off a lot.
Yeah, we'd have clients emailing about that for sure. But yeah, this manifests itself in a couple different ways. And what's interesting is the types of videos that we've used. Some of them are professional, like we have clients that have the resources or already had existing footage. And then others are literally like a screencast with like some subtitles. And the difference between those two in performance is like not as great as you would think. It's like shockingly not that big of a difference in some cases.
Yeah, imagine like having videos that you can use to target your competitor's product listing. Eventually, you would end up like having video for each one of your products and do like cross-targeting of your product, like defensive campaign for videos. Imagine that. Yeah, I think
the only problem from Amazon's side might be page load speed and like and that kind of thing, because video is much more resource-intensive. It already got a lot of images and products feeding in, and I'm sure they care about page load speed, but that's pretty nerdy to even bring up.
So, I'm pretty sure with 5G, it's going to work better until there is like conspiracy theory about 5G, but like, oh, okay.
That's right. I don't want to browse Amazon fast. No 5G for me. Going back to one of the others we had predicted, product page targeting options and formats we have written down here. So product page targeting, or rather, I guess, ASIN targeting, which doesn't necessarily mean product page. It shows up anywhere that the ASIN follows. You know, started as sponsored products and then came to sponsored brands. It's in sponsored display, as far as I'm aware. But maybe we're going to get more refined features for that in the future besides just the ASIN. Maybe there's going to be further criteria that's like more dynamic, like if the reviews you can filter by that. You can already do that by categories, but maybe there's going to be a different way to do it. I don't know, just an idea.
Yeah, that make a lot of sense, to be honest. Yeah, so there's one of the biggest changes that is happening. They tried it. We saw it for 2 days, and it turned back again. So it's News Ad Console. So moving from Seller Central to basically advertising.amazon.com. So that's mm-hmm. something that is pretty huge, that is going to make a lot of difference. To be honest, it's something that is making a lot of headaches in our team, because we're currently working on the app that is helping us with like manual work. We don't want to do like repetitive work, like downloading stuff. Like we would rather click on one thing and have like a whole bunch of reports like custom prepared for us from Amazon. And like when they switched to Ad Console, like all the things needed to be updated. And like we started working on it, and like 2 minutes later they switched it back, and we were like, why?
Well, yeah, that's the part of fun of platform development, I guess software development. But yeah, for sure, we saw this happen. It must have been like what, 48 hours, Lazar? I mean, it reared its ugly head, and they must have had some problems, and then they put it back to bed, I guess. But this is going to happen eventually. You know, the warnings are still there. So this is, I guess, an obvious trend. But the part of the reason for this must be to make our job as agencies easier, right? So right now, some of the big things we face, mm-hmm. just some inside baseball, is like permission setting for team members and like getting in and out of client accounts. Sometimes, you know, being too long inside of an account. Like I've had to request clients to please delete me, you know, we're not working together anymore, or like we did an audit, but you know, ultimately decided not to take them on or something. And yeah, then I still have access to that in Seller Central. I don't want that. You know, I think that this is a much more mature model, similar to Google Ads or like a Facebook, where you have the ads manager, you delete and remove people from it in like a similar permissions model.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that like eventually above Advertising Console, they're going to have something like Google has it, like a Client Manager Center or something like that, where you have like your main page with like all of the clients that you manage with your mm-hmm. email. And from there, you go to each account separately. But like for Amazon, what's interesting, they always had like a whole bunch of different platforms and interfaces for a whole bunch of stuff, like from DSP, video insert, and like Seller Central, AMS, whole bunch of different stuff. And like for each one of them, you needed to go like to a different platform to log in to a different thing. And one of the things that honestly I didn't like, and I remember talking to you about it, and you didn't like it as well. Like when you go to Ad Console, you're not able to see inventory, and you're not able to see business reports.
Yeah, business reports is by far the most important thing there. So the kind of workaround would be, we still have access to Seller Central in order to get business reports and inventory to a certain extent, which is less important but still important. And you know, those things that we are so accustomed to having access to in Seller Central are going to be like, you know, kind of torn away from us pretty quickly there if we take on a new client and we say only have access to their Advertising Console interface. That would be kind of a bummer. So maybe Amazon will work in reports that are like that and listen to our feedback. It's entirely possible. You know, they've been changing things pretty quickly. So I'm hopeful actually for that.
Yeah, let's jump in for like 30 seconds to explain why do we need to see inventory or business reports. Like from our end, having inventory is super important because you know like which products you're having and like which ones are getting out of stock and like which ones you would like to focus on, or if you're overtaking the account, you want to be sure that you covered all of the products with the ads. And when mm-hmm. it comes to business reports, apart from everything, one of the most important things for us is to be absolutely sure that when you're doing PPC push or something like that, that your percentage of sales are coming like coming from PPC are in the steady growth with organic sales as well. And I'm pretty sure that you, Brent, you can add like a whole bunch of different reasons why you need business reports and inventory.
Well, I agree with all the ones you said so far. I don't have too much to add, but I will say, conversion rate, looking at conversion rate, or what Amazon calls what, USP, unit session percentage. Mm-hmm. And then you have order session percentage. Like these calculations are important. So, you know, what's our organic USP overall versus advertising? What's the difference between those? We should probably have an episode one time about Amazon and sessions, because it doesn't really make sense. But, you know, that information, like what's the top seller, for instance, easiest way to go do that, look at where this product is in the lineup, is to look at the business reports.
Yeah, so it seems like that we're running out of time once again. So let's focus on the next thing, dude. So let's talk about what are the negative sides of of ads, and like what's the next thing that's going to happen to ads?
Sure. Okay. Can we cover the backlash idea? Should we move on to the
next category? Yeah, of course.
All right. So this is what I wrote down specifically, the backlash to ads. I think that there may be a time, and I think we saw this just pre-COVID, and then those things disappeared, where Amazon was essentially promoting a lot of their own products, a lot of ads, and then like halfway down the page, you saw the organic results. I remember there was a Marketplace Pulse blog post where they did like a little bit of a anatomy of an Amazon SERP page. And yeah, it was shocking like how many ads there were. And I think one of the reasons people like Amazon is it's not a crappy experience. Like you go to a lot of other places on the web and there's ads popping up everywhere and like autoplay videos and stuff like that. Amazon's mostly kept that stuff like off there. And so if there's too many ads, the user experience is going to start to dwindle, right? So like one of Amazon's core conceits is like, oh, we're so user-centric or customer-focused. And I don't know, maybe that sweet ad money is just too much for them to resist. But I think they have to strike a balance. And I think we might see like a user backlash to ads if there's too many of them. That's my suspicion for 2020.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the moment they see like dropping CTR, they're going to work on it.
So based on data, like anything else?
Of course. So let's talk about something that we would like to see and basically that we can only dream about.
Yeah, and this is some really nerdy in the weeds stuff. So we'll try to keep this part maybe short if you audience starts to drop off here, I guess.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so Brent, what would you like to see on Amazon advertising platform in the future?
Better reporting. That's my most wished for trend, the one I dream about. So specifically, there's one thing you're familiar with, right? We have ad click, and then we hit SKU purchased and other SKU purchased. Well, what is other SKU purchased? It could be anything in your catalog. So because of that, it becomes difficult to really calculate, all right, we're putting this much money into this product, and then this is how many sales we actually get. Of course, there's going to never be 100% attribution solved. Like people are going to click on the green one and buy the black one, you know? But the point is, we don't know if they're buying the black one or the red one, actually, when they click on the green one. So to speak.
Yeah, and imagine if you would be able to compare two date frames for all of that. That would be really awesome.
Like inside the interface?
Yeah, like for that kind of stuff, we try to like create our own reports. That's why we focus on Excel, to be honest. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of possible improvements there.
I agree. One other one I had down here, data visibility for sponsored brands. So still, sponsored brands, you know, as a trend we mentioned, getting better, looking really good so far this year. The one thing I wish, but I honestly don't think is going to happen, is bringing on the reporting that they have on par with sponsored products. So for instance, Lazar, pop quiz, if someone clicks on your sponsored brand's product, you know, you're advertising three ostensibly, maybe okay, you're sending them to a brand page, what product do they buy?
Have no idea.
We have no idea.
And like if they clicked and they closed the browser and came tomorrow and like this time they know the brand, they check the product and they're fully aware of your product and your brand, they're going to use some different search and like use sponsor product campaign or like do some organic purchase. Like, are you able to see sponsor brand ads? No.
Still, it's not at parity with what we've come to expect from not only other Amazon ads, but like maybe industry standards, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that you're able to see on different platforms easily.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the last one, do you want to touch on those?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a huge fan of like different targeting methods. And one of the things that are missing on Amazon is like targeting by state or by city or whatever. Like maybe your product is not for like downtown area of some huge city. Maybe it's like for some countryside, or I don't know. So maybe you should focus on that part as well. Or big brands always target bigger cities or bigger markets. Maybe you would like to target some other parts of the country and you're not able to do it at this point. Or when it comes to devices, maybe you can see what's the conversion rate or click-through rate on cell phone or your laptop and just to focus on that one specific, but that's not going to happen at this point.
Yeah, I like your example with city versus rural, for instance. So let's say you're selling a ride-on tractor, you know, that costs like hundreds of dollars and you're mowing big lawns with it. Yeah, you don't need that in like downtown San Francisco. But at the same time, maybe someone in, the middle of the country in Missouri who has a lot of land, like they might need that, for instance.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
And what if you're selling a thing that's only for Android phones? Well, then you don't want to target people who are on iOS. That's a lot less interesting to you.
Yeah, like even if you're selling like lightning cable for iPhone, it would be way better and way easier to target only iPhones, basically. Like searches from Apple devices, it would make your conversion rate way better than like just targeting everybody on the market.
Or even just the ability to see it and then maybe later on target it. But yeah, we don't even see it right now. So
yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. I think that about covers it. We're hitting our time limit here.
Yeah, definitely. So guys, thanks for listening. And if you have any questions and if you would like us to discuss some certain topic, go to our website, wildppcbunch.com, and send us a question.
Yeah, please. Questions appreciated for sure.
Yeah.
All right. That's all from us.
That's all for us. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.